Hello, hello, it's the Sunday Scaries of Espresso Crime, and today's episode is about 10 of the shortest trials. This episode includes assassination, serial killers, a conviction 36 years later, and more. And then we'll end the episode with current crimes. So let's get right into the list, starting things off with a throwback. Charles Gatteau worked as a clerk at a Chicago law firm and passed a cursory exam to attain admission to the bar. He was not successful as a lawyer. He only argued in one case in court, which ended in his client being convicted, and the bulk of his business was in bill collecting. In 1869, he met and married a librarian. She later detailed his dishonest dealings in those bill collections, describing how he would keep more amounts from those collections than he should and rarely gave the money to his clients. However, in 1872, he and his wife moved to New York City, and that was in a step to be one ahead of the bill collectors and all those clients. So they kind of moved to get away from everything. That's when he took an interest in politics and identified with the Democratic Party. He then turned back to religion. He published a book on the subject called The Truth, which was almost entirely plagiarized from another work. By 1875, his father had become convinced that his son was possessed by Satan. From then, he got back into politics, this time with the Republican Party. At this point, he's with the Republican Party, and at the same time, James A. Garfield became the 20th president of the U.S. on March 4th, 1881. He was really frustrated with the Garfield administration, and he decided he needed to kill the president. He knew he would be overpowered if using a knife, so he purchased a gun. Then on July 2nd, 1881, he assassinated the president. The president died on September 19th, 1881, following complications from the shooting. The government officially charged him with murder. He was formally indicted on October 14th, 1881, on the charge of murder, which had previously been attempted murder. So his trial was one of the first high-profile cases in the U.S. where defense based on a claim of temporary insanity was considered. He, though, insisted that while he had been legally insane at the time of the shooting because God had taken away his free will, he was not really medically insane, which was one of the major causes of the issue between him and his defense lawyers. The trial took 60 days, and on June 30th, 1892, Gatteau was hanged for this crime. I just thought this one was really interesting. So 60-day trial, but also just that assassination and everything like that. Next on the list, on May 21st, 1924, 18 and 19-year-old Nathan Leopold and Richard Loeb kidnapped and murdered 14-year-old Bobby Franks, who was actually a relative of Loeb. They spent 7 months planning this. Their motive, they thought due to their superior intellect, they would be able to commit a perfect crime. They offered the 14-year-old a ride home, but he did decline because he had just 2 blocks to walk. However, they ended up persuading him into the car, and that's when they hit him several times in the head with a purchase chisel, and then they also dragged him in the back seat and gagged him, where he did die. They then drove further to discard the body. Before leaving the body, though, they wanted to obscure his identity, so they poured hydrochloric acid on his face and genitals to disguise the fact that he had been circumcised. Just during that period, it would be really unusual for non-Jews to be circumcised in the U.S. So by the time the two men returned to Chicago, word had already been spread that the 14-year-old was missing. Leopold called the mother, identifying himself as George Johnson, and told her that he had been kidnapped. Instructions for delivering the ransom would follow. After mailing the typed ransom note and burning their blood-stained clothing, they then cleaned the blood stains from the rented vehicle, and then they spent the remainder of the evening playing cards. It's just so chilling how they were able to not only plan this for 7 months, actually carry it out, and then just go about their, you know, day as totally normal. So once the family received their ransom note, on the following morning, Leopold called a second time and dictated the first set of instructions for the ransom payment. The plan, though, stalled almost immediately when a nervous family member forgot the address to the store where he was supposed to receive the next set of instructions, and it was abandoned entirely when word came that the 14-year-old's body had been found. So Leopold and Loeb destroyed the typewriter and burned blanket that they had used to move the body. They then again went about their lives as usual. The police found a pair of eyeglasses. Although it was common in prescription and frame, they were fitted with an unusual hinge purchased by only three customers in Chicago, one of whom was Leopold. When questioned, he offered the possibility that his glasses might have dropped out of his pocket during a bird watching trip the previous weekend. Their alibi, however, did not hold up, as Leopold's chauffeur told police that he was repairing Leopold's car while the men claimed to be using it. The chauffeur's wife confirmed that the car was parked in the Leopold garage on the afternoon of the murder. The destroyed typewriter was also recovered from the lagoon on June 7th. So Loeb was the first to confess, and Leopold confessed shortly after. The trial lasted for 33 days. Both of them received life imprisonment plus 99 years. And Loeb was murdered by a fellow prisoner in 1936, while Leopold was released on parole in 1958. We have talked about this case before. It's just so crazy that they thought they would be able to get away with this. They spent 7 months planning. And then I think the real kicker is just those glasses being found and them to be, you know, belonging to only three people in all of Chicago. It's just wild. Number three on the list, John Massey. So he had a 14-day trial, just 2 weeks. That's when he received a mandatory life sentence with a minimum term of 20 years for the murder of Charlie Higgins, who was a pub doorman, in 1975. While in prison, he did escape on three different occasions. The first time was in 1994. The second time was in 1997, where he actually ended up fleeing to Spain from the UK. And then in 2012 as well. He was released on parole in 2018. Number four on the list is Jeffrey Dahmer. He was an American serial killer who killed and dismembered 17 males between 1978 and 1991. The trial started on January 30th, 1992, and lasted just 14 days. He was found guilty and sentenced to life in prison, where he was later killed by a fellow inmate. For a full deep dive, listen to the March Book Club episode 167 for this one. Number five on the list, John Hinckley Jr. is an American man who attempted to assassinate U.S. President Ronald Reagan as he left the Hilton Hotel in Washington, D.C. on March 30th, 1981. He did wound a police officer, a Secret Service agent, and the White House press secretary. The White House press secretary, James Brady, was left disabled and eventually died from his injuries. So Hinckley was tried for the attempted assassination of President Ronald Reagan. His trial lasted only 6 days, and he was found not guilty by reason of insanity. In 2016, a federal judge ruled that he could be released from psychiatric care as he was no longer considered a threat to himself or others. Of course, though, there was a lot of conditions with that release. After 2020, a ruling was issued that he may showcase his artwork, writing, and music under his own name rather than anonymously like he had been doing. Since then, he has maintained a YouTube channel for his music under his own name, of course, and then his restrictions were unconditionally lifted in June 2022, over 40 years after the assassination attempt. On the list, on June 6, 1986, 4-year-old Jessica Gutierrez was abducted from her home in Lexington, South Carolina. At the home, a fingerprint was found on the window frame, a cigarette pack and butt was found on the property, and the living room was torn up. The 6-year-old older sister told the mom a man with a beard took her sister. The decades-old cold case remained cold until September 2021, when 50 FBI agents and local police reopened the case. In January 2022, Thomas McDowell was arrested on charges of kidnapping, murder, and first-degree burglary. At the trial, an inmate testified that he told him that he was sexually abusing... Number six on the list, on June 6, 1986, 4-year-old Jessica Gutierrez was abducted from her home in Lexington, South Carolina. At the home, a fingerprint was found on the window frame, a cigarette pack and butt was found on the property, and the living room was left torn up. The 6-year-old sister told her mom that a man with a beard took her sister. The decades-old cold case remained cold until September 2021, when 50 FBI agents and local police reopened the case. The next year, in January 2022, Thomas McDowell was arrested on charges of kidnapping, murder, and first-degree burglary. At the trial, an inmate testified that McDowell told him that while sexually abusing the 4-year-old girl, she bit him and he killed her out of rage. The inmate was told this while they were in the same jail in an unrelated case. McDowell was convicted of a rape in 1987. Prior to the abduction, McDowell had spent 2 days at the home building a shed. That's when he saw one of the people that lived there climb through a window after forgetting her keys. His fingerprint was found on this window. So jury selection took place on February 5th, and on February 8th, he was convicted and sentenced to life. The judge said she believed the jury was right, finding McDowell guilty of murder, kidnapping, and first-degree burglary. She then addressed McDowell. She said, "This mother needs to know where her child is," as the body had yet to be found. This one, it was a really short trial, and it was just, it's amazing that after so many years of it being a cold case, they finally were able to get that conviction. Number 7 on the list is Jack Leon Ruby. He was an American nightclub owner who murdered Lee Harvey Oswald on November 24th, 1963, 2 days after Oswald was accused of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Ruby fatally shot Oswald on live TV in the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters and was immediately arrested. His trial lasted just over 3 days and he was found guilty of murder with malice. Ruby's conviction was later overturned on appeal, but he died on January 3rd, 1967 before a retrial could take place. This has so many president assassinations or attempted assassinations, and it's just so interesting to see how short these trials are as well. Next on the list is a little bit more recent. In April 2020 in Florida, Christopher Whaley picked up Asher Martin and Raven Glaudin in his van. After a potential drug deal fell through, Asher Martin told Christopher Whaley to drive up a trail. There, Martin attacked Whaley from behind with a machete. He was able to get out of the van and try to run away, but he was further assaulted and he was ultimately killed. So from then, Martin loaded Whaley's body into the van and drove to Gelden's home, where they stayed briefly while the remains were in the van parked outside. The next day, Asher Martin then abandoned the van in a wooden area about 4 miles from the home. He then lit the van on fire. Smoke from the van led firefighters to discover Whaley's body inside. The victim's throat had been cut and he sustained multiple stab wounds to his upper torso and back. Following this discovery, Asher Martin and Raven Glaudin were arrested. Glaudin reached a plea deal with prosecutors and pleaded no contest to accessory after the fact to second-degree murder and second-degree arson in exchange for her truthful testimony at Martin's trial. She was sentenced to 10 years in prison. The trial of Asher Martin lasted 3 days. The jury deliberated for just 13 minutes before reaching a guilty verdict, and the 22-year-old was sentenced to life imprisonment. So this one is really brutal. Just, you know, the chasing with the machete and everything, and obviously lighting the van on fire with the body inside. All of it is just so crazy and wild. And then just a 3-day trial as well, and just deliberating for 13 minutes. Two more on the list. Number 9, on July 22, 2004, Nicholas McAllister, a resident of New Zealand, was on trial for allegedly cultivating 23 cannabis plants. At the trial, the jury left to consider the verdict at 3:28 p.m. They returned with their decision just 1 minute later at 3:29 p.m. Despite his inability to explain why he ran and hid from the police, the jury found the evidence insubstantial enough to deliver a speedy, not guilty verdict. This one is literally like less than a minute. The trial itself is so incredibly short. Number 10 and last on the list, Rupert Steed was a 67-year-old bachelor. That's when he met Brian Colley, and he allowed the Colley family to live in his home rent-free. During this time, Brian's wife left him and she took the kids with her. This was due to Brian's heavy drinking and marital issues. On Monday, August 3rd, 1959, Brian Colley returned home to find Rupert Steed alone in the house. That's when Brian Colley brutally attacked and murdered Rupert Steed. The murder trial took place on Monday, December 14th, 1959, and the trial lasted only 30 seconds. Brian Colley pleaded guilty and was sentenced to life imprisonment. truly the shortest trial ever.
So that wraps up our list of shortest trials. So that range from 60 days to just 30 seconds. So really interesting there. Now let's get into our current crime. So the first here is experts are saying there's a possibility that the Easter Sunday heist could remain unsolved. So it was one of the largest cash heists in LA history. Thieves made off with as much as $30 million in an Easter Sunday burglary at a San Fernando Valley Monday storage facility. So those criminals snuck into the site through its roof and accessed a safe without setting off any alarms. So this one I just found was so interesting. One, it's one of the largest cash heists, and then also that there's a possibility that it will remain unsolved. And that was just this past Easter. I hadn't heard at all anything about the cash heist itself. I just saw this update and I thought that was really interesting to share. Next, a judge sentenced a North Dakota woman on Tuesday to about 19 years in prison in connection with the death of a baby and injury of another boy that authorities tied to her through her unlicensed home child care center. So Patricia Wick was charged last year. She pleaded guilty in January to felony charges of murder and child abuse and a misdemeanor of operating an unlicensed daycare center. And then the next one here is Cole Brings Plenty. He's an actor on 1923. He was found deceased. 5 days later, police have said that there is no evidence of foul play. So prior to the police finding his body, he had been wanted by the Lawrence Police Department on allegations of domestic violence. This one I just wanted to share. I had seen so many people posting about him being missing and that, you know, being wanted and everything like that. So that one is just really sad. We'll see if anything else comes out with that, but it was just all over Instagram and everything like that. So I thought we'd share that. And our last current crime update. So a woman's remains have been identified almost 4 decades after she was found dead down an embankment in Southern California, authorities announced this week. So she was 43 years old when she was killed. And although there are a lot of circumstances surrounding her death that have like a very large question mark around them, one thing that isn't is that the medical examiner determined officially that she had been murdered soon after the body was discovered. So that is a murder victim, and after almost 4 decades, she has been identified. So if anything else comes from that, but always just so interesting when those very long cold cases finally have some sort of information come to light on them. So that wraps up today's episode. Thank you for listening. Next week, we are going to do the longest trial. So an opposite from today's list. So thanks again for listening. I will see you Sunday for more Sunday Scaries by Espresso Crime. Bye for now.